Good morning, church. Today is the Sunday early in the year when we have chosen to focus on our ministry that we call the Family Service Center. And if you're astute, you notice I am not in the building. If you're sitting on the couch watching church today, you probably don't notice anything different. Anyway, I'm on video because I needed to be able to do a funeral in San Antonio over the weekend, and it's just hard to be two places at one time. So I'm thankful for the video that allows this to happen. In Matthew 10:42 and Mark 9:41, there's a verse that pops up that always has intrigued me. The context of the verse is it is dealing with the followers of Jesus who have been sent out into the world. And Jesus is talking to them about kingdom impact. What happens when the kingdom that goes forth in the name of Jesus interacts with the world? This verse is about a simple act of kindness, and here it is from Mark 9:41. I tell you the truth, words of Jesus, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name, because you belong to Christ, will certainly not lose his reward. Now, I know this verse has been used a lot by ministries who offer assistance. I don't want to do this verse harm in any way by twisting it to mean something I want it to mean, but it is no pressure at all to say that it is about giving and receiving. It is about blessings that are incurred through both. It is about compassion, that even small gifts matter. Even a cup of water speaks volumes. It is less about water than it is about witness. And really the main thing that I would want you to garner from that verse is that the water is not nearly as important as the name in which it is given. The Family Service Center has been a core ministry of Washington Avenue Christian Church for over 25 years. In 2020, we served 4,200 families. That breaks out into about 9,200 individuals. Numbers were down last year because of COVID, because so many other groups were assisting those in need, and we're thankful for that. The volunteers at the Washington Street Family Service Center distributed over 132,000 pounds of food last year and countless articles of clothing and things like shoes that had been donated. What they gave mostly, though, would be unquantifiable measures of love given in the context of Christ's compassion. How do we fund the Family Service Center? There's, I think, a lot of confusion about that sometimes. The money does not come out of the general fund of this church, except money that has been given through your offerings above and beyond your tithes. Our model of funding and provision for the service center is something we grab from the Old Testament. You were given a card in your bulletin when you came in, this card with the corner cut off. And on this card, there's a verse, Leviticus 19, verse 9 and 10. When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Do not go over your vineyard a second time or pick up the grapes that have fallen. Leave them for the poor and the alien. I am the Lord your God. Okay, very simple yet profound principle in which God set out a practice through which the poor could be taken care of. And this is a commandment. This is not a suggestion. This is very strongly emphasized teaching of the Lord and his means of providing for them. Leave the corners of your field, right? Don't harvest right up to the edges. Leave something unharvested so that others may participate and share. The Old Testament principle is called gleaning. We don't do much of that anymore in terms of going out and picking up crops. But this was at its heart the intentional allowing of some of the abundant harvest God has blessed us with through his hands, then to flow through our hands into the hands of others who are in need. Basically, they could go out, strangers, the poor, could go out into the fields and they could pick up these leftovers, and thus they would not starve. You know, some of God's strongest words are reserved for those who care nothing for the poor. So I think any believer who studies the word understands that we do have a responsibility. This system that God designed in the Old Testament was a beautiful system. And it acknowledges what we understand. Food is important, but it is not as important as the name in which it is given. And that name, the name of Jesus, has the power to change lives. And that really is the business that we are in. At this point, I'm going to hand this off to Darnell Wasinger. Darnell has been the director of the Washington Street Family Service Center now for over 8 years, going into his 9th year, and I can't believe it's been that long. Darnell does an incredible job down there, and if there were two words I could use to describe Darnell, I would tell you that those words are consistent and loving. He really, really cares about these people. So let's hear from Darnell as he tells us about some of the stories that grow through this ministry.
It is actually my 8th year. But I get excited every time I'm allowed to come up here and talk about the service centers. Just give you a glimpse of what goes on down there. Each year I get to know new faces and I get to spend time with people I've gotten to know over the years. In 2020, I was allowed more time to just sit and get to know people. We've already started this year off slow, which is okay. But I figure the reason is because of stimulus checks, tax refunds, and then these food giveaways. They get posted on Facebook and everywhere, so more people know about them. These food giveaways were started from the pandemic. It's a government program called Farmers to Families. We've been able to get some of these resources, but you have to have your own refrigerated trailer, forklifts, and all that because they bring them in truckloads. And unfortunately, we don't have that kind of resource, but it's okay. But basically, with these drive-ups, you drive up, pop your trunk, they put it in a food box, you drive away. They have no accountability, and there's no personal interaction. It seems that they are more focused on that, how much food they give out, and they're not focused on the people receiving the food. At the FSC, our mission statement is to be a hand up during hard times. We don't want to be a handout. We do have a program for our seniors and our veterans, which basically they can come once a month all year round. Our seniors, 70 and plus, seem to be really hit hard during these times. And so we really want to help them out. And then always, we want to honor our veterans who fight for our freedom. But everyone who comes in will receive a smile, some of our time, and love. And it is such a blessing when you talk to someone and they leave saying, "Thank you for listening to me." The past year showed me it is not how many we serve, but the quality in which we serve. We do not worry about the number of food boxes we give out. We worry more about the love we show. And we all do it in Jesus' name. The relationships that we've been able to build with these people has been precious. And I know that pride is a sin, but I am so proud of the things that I hear people say about the Washington Street Family Service Center around town. One volunteer had shared with me that she was in line at Walmart. A discussion had come up about someone needing some food assistance. The volunteer mentioned that she worked at the FSC. And right away, the cashier jumped in and said, "Oh, go there and get help." She explained how she was homeless 3 years ago. She came to the FSC when we were able to help her. She explained how nice the people are there and how they show you respect. I've heard other people come from some other pantries that they felt worse when they left than when they showed up. We helped her during some hard and dark times, and now she's back on her feet and doing well. There have been many posts on Facebook I've heard about when someone needing assistance, someone chimes in and says, go to the Washington Street Family Service Center. They are nice people. To me, this shows genuine care for those in need. And it shows the people in need that they matter. Every time I prepare for this, I have a hard time choosing what to share with you in this short amount of time. There are so many stories and blessings received, and many of the volunteers have their own stories. And the longer I get the privilege to be a part of this ministry, the more I have to share. There are some pictures that are rotating, and they're just a glimpse of what goes on down there and some of the people. And in the mix, there is a funeral announcement of a sweet lady named June. I got to know June back when we were able to provide nutritional cooking classes for those coming in. June and another lady, Shannon, always made me laugh. I mean, they were a hoot. They were a joy. And I am honored and privileged to say that I know them. June became homebound a couple years ago. But Shannon would come in and keep me updated on her. And there were times that we did wellness checks on her. And you could tell Shannon was worried about her. But it was nice to know that she was still around. And when she passed, Shannon came and shared. That is one of the bad things about this job, is to get to know these people and then for them to go home to God. The FSC is truly about people and showing them the love of Jesus. Sure, the majority of the people are there for help with food and clothing, but that gives us the opportunity to share and show them that there is a God who loves them. Last couple of years, we have been truly blessed. We've had some high school students that have joined and started volunteering. Many of them come in, they need hours for their honor society. But what has brought joy to my heart is after they're done with the hours, they continue to come and serve. It gives me hope for the future. These handful of students are not so self-absorbed as we see so many other youths these days. They have a genuine heart to help those in our community. And then we do have teenagers who come in for community hours that are court-appointed. There are a few I really enjoy, and there are a few that I tell not to come back. But I try to take advantage of these opportunities. Many of these kids come from dysfunctional families, and I myself, coming from a dysfunctional family, understand what they're going through. I can relate to it. I see an opportunity to try and mentor them, to encourage them. And there have been a few that have come back to share that they are doing better now and how thankful they are. One girl who we really wondered about came back just a while ago and informed us she was going to college. Oh, that was wonderful because, like I said, we were very worried about her. But I believe that the time we took to talk to her, to encourage her, to show her that she was better than the circumstances she was in, helped her to climb out of that. But most of all, we showed her that God loves her and is always with her. There's another one, Kathy. She came to us because she had some community service hours. She had come before needing food, but I didn't get the opportunity to know her. As I got to know Kathy, I've learned she's a bit crazy. She is quite the lady to take in. But through her time serving with us and serving others, she got to know that the FSC is a place that she can come and talk and get prayer. This past year, she was dealing with her dying mother and her sister, who has her own issues. And many times she just popped in asking for prayer. She just needed prayer, and she'd always walk away feeling more calmer and felt confident that she can handle what was happening. Now, her mom did pass this at the end of last year, and she still comes in to talk. She talks about her sister. She talks about any problems she's going through, but she's always asking for prayer, and she knows that the FSC is a place to go to and to be comforted. The FSC does not only just give out food and clothing. Over the years, God has blessed us with donations outside of the church. And so we have started a benevolence fund. He's shown me to use this money in different ways. And I have a story, a very wonderful success story to share with you because of this benevolence fund. Angelique Martin came to us several years ago. When she came in for food, I was able to stop, talk, and get to know her. She shared that she was raising her grandchildren and going to school. She came back many times, which allowed me to get to know her better and pray with her many times. One of those times, she shared problems that she was going through. And through the Holy Spirit who guided me, we were able to help her with more than food. And I want to read you a letter that she sent me for all of you. It says, "Dear Mr. Wasinger, thank you again for all the help me and my family have received from you and your church. I truly feel blessed to have met you in our time of need. You went above and beyond, and I am ever so grateful. I remember the day we talked about me being on chemotherapy in 2017. It is funny that I have come so far and accomplished so much since that day. I told you my aspirations and dreams, and you told me go for it, and that God will guide my path. You were right. God guided me to a brighter future. Because of you and your church were there for me every step of the way. So, on Friday, December 18th, I graduated from Amarillo College with a degree in business management. And I have 4 certificates of completion. It was all possible by you and your church. I was on the verge of failing because I could not afford a textbook and my car inspection sticker was invalid. But because you took the chance on me, I can provide a stable life for my family. In other words, we now have a fighting chance for a better future. I will forever be grateful to you and the congregation every time I look at my degree. You and the church have provided the way for me to continue my education, and that gave me the courage to push past my limits. I am a first-generation college student and a graduate at 52 years old. I am extremely blessed that you took the time to help me and stay on track when I needed it the most." Wow. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for allowing us to be a part of that. You see, the FSC is not a food giveaway. It is a ministry where God's people help God's people. It is where we share the love and the name of Jesus. The generous support we receive from your contributions is to be the light in our community. I have always been a firm believer that if everyone does a little bit, then God will do a whole lot. You remember when Jesus fed the thousands with a couple of fish and a couple of loaves of bread. That is what we see done at the FSC. So I would ask, if you've been supporting us for years, continue. But if this is the first time that you've actually heard and understood what goes on at the FSC, I would say please pray and consider being a part of God's ministry. Honestly, when I first heard of the FSC, I was a person that said, those people can go get a job. I'm not giving them my money. And then I volunteered, and look at me now. There are many ways to support the FSC. Of course, financial support is critical. Last year, we saw an increase in the price of food. We get 90% of our food from the food bank. But over the past couple of years, they've had their own issues, and it's been hard to get exactly what we need to give out good food. So I have looked at other resources that I only use when it is absolute necessary. I use it to help fill in those gaps that the food bank's unable to provide at the time. And I use them rarely because they cost a lot more than the food bank. Also, with utilities, I'm sure you've seen in your utility bills an increase. We have 2 down there. Many of you tell me that I do a great job down there, and I'm thankful, but honestly, I'm just there when something goes wrong. It is the 100 plus volunteers that actually make the FSC run efficiently. They're the ones that give of their time to do the work. Without them, none of it could happen. And I wanted to ask all my volunteers to stand up, but I'm not going to put you on the spot. I love highlighting the volunteers because they bring joy to my heart. So you might consider joining us and seeing God work in people's lives down there. Plus, I guarantee you'll be amazed at the blessings that you will receive by serving others. We always have fun, and my motto down there is, if you don't have joy when working at the FSC, then you don't belong. Fortunately, I've never had to fire a volunteer. Many ask me to fire them, but I just make them work harder. Finally, another way to help us is to pray. 2020 has definitely taught me prayer is so powerful. It's helped me through troubling times, and I hope you have seen the power of prayer. Please pray that God will change lives down there. Please pray for God's provisions. The reason I haven't opened the truck lately is because the ladies down there won't let me. They get piles of clothing, and as soon as they break it down, more comes in. And so as long as that flow is coming, I probably will not open the truck because they do get overwhelmed. But it's amazing how they'll sit there and say, oh, we need sheets. Next time, next person comes in, they're bringing sheets. God provides amazingly down there, and He has for many years now. And if you have donations, please bring them down, because I want to take the time to show you the service center and the amazing thing God does there, share some stories, show you the place and how it works. But also, we need to pray for Him to guide us and to be the right blessing to the right person at the right time, just like with Angelique. That's all the time I should take away from you today. I have so much more to share. But if you come down, I will purposely make time to spend with you, give you a tour, and show you what's going on in God's wonderful ministry that He has blessed for so many years. Thank you.
Thank you, Darnell, for sharing those stories of God's work in people's lives. We talked about the Old Testament rationale. Let's not just leave it there. Let me give you a little New Testament basis as well before we're done today. We've been talking in our theme this year about Jesus the revolutionary. Jesus came to change us. We talked about how His intent was to transform us, not to leave us the way that we are. Last week, we studied John 10 and talked about how Jesus came to offer His subject, His followers, real life. But Satan and his minions are going to try to steal that from us, usually by convincing us quite easily to settle for the fake abundance that this world offers. Following Jesus will always find us at odds and cross purposes with the world, because His revolution turns everything upside down. Let me read to you from the context we mentioned earlier in Matthew chapter 10 this time, verses 32 through 42. These are the words of Jesus. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives the one who sent me. Anyone who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And anyone who receives a righteous man, because he is a righteous man, will receive a righteous man's reward. And anyone, if he gives a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. Well, that includes that verse that we mentioned at the start. We'll come back to it, but it's kind of a strange and often disconcerting text, and we need to understand his message. You see, Jesus was typically not about bloody swords. Jesus was usually not about swords of any kind. This Messiah came to overthrow all of the powers that be, but he didn't come on a war horse with soldiers and weapons. He did not come with military might. He came on a donkey with palm leaves and an army of 12 not-so-brave followers who might have struggled to overthrow a Boy Scout troop. But his revolution was no less real, and in fact, it was far more impactful than any military power grab ever has been. It's said in Scripture, and it has proven true, his kingdom will never end. In this text, he says, I came not to bring peace, but a sword. Now, that causes us pause, and we're still probably remembering the songs we sang at Christmas about peace on earth, and remember the prophecies of peace never ending. But what he's saying here is, he didn't come to make things cozy. He came to cut through a lot of stuff. He knew that his kingdom would be so revolutionary that anyone who followed him would possibly, very possibly, find himself at odds with his family even and his friends. You see, following Jesus always creates stark divisions. And those divisions will, in fact, be something that we will experience if we follow him in a way that is disciplined and committed. Jesus didn't come to pass out puppies and warm fuzzies. He came to change. He came to revolutionize the world one life at a time, beginning with anyone who would follow him through what he's already done, his sacrificial work on the cross. And that invitation still exists because of that, but even now through what we do for him in his name. When you get involved in outreach ministries, we have many of them here at the church. Family Service Center is one of them. Ministry to our community, primarily with food and clothing, assistance in difficult times. We also spend a lot of money and give a lot of food to kids at Lamar Elementary School through Snack Pack. We have our Frog Squad programs. We have other special outreach events we hope to begin to see coming back into reality when COVID leaves us alone. There are a lot of outreach things to do. When you get involved in outreach, you become a part of his revolution. And thus, you become a revolutionary. You ever think about yourself on those terms? Any follower of Jesus Christ, if you really are a follower of Jesus Christ, is a revolutionary. Follow me. That is the call to join the revolution. And we are called salt and light. We exist to effect positive change by losing ourselves in the process. We exist to change the way things are through great, perhaps, but most of the time, tiny acts of service and compassion to others. It's that cup of water given perhaps to a brother. It's that box of food given to a sister or even to a pagan who has not yet met this Jesus Christ and who can be introduced to him through this kind of not of this world kindness. The kingdom of heaven brings a spiritual revolution and it addresses our greatest need. When you read the Sermon on the Mount in the early chapters of Matthew, you see Jesus is teaching about the kingdom and how the kingdom changes everything. The kingdom of heaven, this Jesus that we follow, the King, always brings a revolution of compassion and caring. Most of the hospitals that exist today, the major hospital systems, most of them started by Christian entities wanting to reach out with the care and mercy of Jesus Christ. So many missions organizations have that also as their primary founding bedrock truth. We, as a church, as Christians, still have so many opportunities to leave the corner of our fields and provide resources that includes volunteering hands to help at the service center, also resources to provide for the needs of the poor and the traumatized and the troubled. But you know, before we can turn the world upside down, He will often turn our worlds upside down. Any follower of Christ knows that as we follow Him, it is no longer about us. That's what He wants to teach us. That's one of the reasons outreach and missions is so important, because it makes it not about us. As we submit and become His subjects and instruments in the revolution of compassion and caring, it makes it about others. It makes it about the people that share this planet with us. I would be completely remiss if I did not say to you, many of you who have supported the Family Service Center ministry for so long now, thank you. Thank you so very much for your generosity. It has never been about one or two people giving huge gifts. It's been about hundreds of people in this church giving small monthly gifts. And over the years, you have given dollars numbered now in the millions. You have provided meals now numbered probably in the tens of millions. Very significant work focused outside of our needs and ourselves. Thank you for that. If you're new to the church, maybe you've never taken the step to get involved in service center ministry, let me encourage you to do that. You can start giving. We've provided these cards, and you can fill one of these out. If you're ready today, you can put it in one of those offering drop boxes at the doors of the building. If you're not ready today, you need some time to think and pray about it, you can do that. Just bring the card when you've filled it out. Even if you've done that a million times, we'd love for you to do it again each year, because that way we know what we have to work with. Thank you for your generosity. If you want to volunteer, maybe you'd like to know more about what actually happens down there. You'd like a tour of the service center, talk to Darnell. He'll be available down front after the services today. He would love to show you around. He would love to tell you how it all works. Let me have one little last bit of word here, and then I'll be done. You may be thinking, well, I don't have much to offer. In terms of time, it really doesn't take a lot of time. You could quite easily volunteer for 1 hour a week or 10 hours a week, just depending on the time that you are given. If you're talking about money, you may think your little bit is not enough to make a difference. And if you believe that, you have not read a little bit further into Matthew's gospel, Matthew 14 and 15. We have two very similar stories about the feeding of a multitude of 5,000 and the feeding of another multitude of 4,000. And it explains in those stories that's just the number of men. So really, we're probably talking about Jesus feeding 20,000 in one event and probably 16 to 18,000 in another. That's big, big deal. One thing I love about these stories is that Jesus shows He is concerned that these people are hungry, physically hungry. It's not just about them listening to His sermon. He's been feeding them well spiritually, but Jesus is admitting here physical needs are real. Jesus asked His disciples in both stories, okay, what do we have? What do we have on hand? And I don't know how much of this we can definitively prove, but I'm kind of thinking that what they have on hand are their own provisions. Somebody's lunchbox among the 12, perhaps. What little they have been able to provide themselves, they are poor, they don't have a supply team. Maybe what they're going to eat is a snack when they pack up and head off to the next village. I don't know. I do think in terms of this being something likely they have saved or provided for themselves. But then Christ gives a challenge in both of the stories, and His challenge is very simply this: whatever you have, and it's a 5 loaves and a few fishes, 7 fishes, I don't know what it all is, the different amounts in each story. Go read them for yourself and you can check it out. But the challenge of Christ is this: let it go. Let it go. He says, give them to Me. And as the story ends, everyone gets to eat until they are stuffed. and there are truckloads of leftovers. Because that's the way that Jesus works, when we are willing to let it go. Jesus is challenging us in these stories to take from what little we might have for ourselves, and maybe that's especially important if we feel like we have very, very little. He wants us to share some of it with Him, to leave the corner, and He will multiply it. He will meet every need, and there's going to be then a lot left over to help even more. In this story, these two stories, the ones who were hungry, they're not hungry any longer. But maybe more importantly, the ones who were perhaps concerned about not having enough to meet the need, not having enough for themselves, they have no reason to be worried about that any longer. And because of their generosity, they have experienced a miracle. You know, in our world, to let go of almost anything, to care more about others than ourselves, to be willing to share what is in our hands, that is revolutionary. These stories are really not so much about a meal as they are about the name and power of Jesus Christ. Do you see that? They are really not so much in that earlier verse in chapter 9 and chapter 10, not about a cup of water. Although water is important, it's really about the name and power of Jesus Christ. The ministry of the Family Service Center is not about the food that we give out. 132,000 pounds of food last year. Although that matters, it's about the name of Jesus Christ that we offer it in. It's all about the name. So I hope that you will pray and consider your partnership with us. This is one way you can do that. I hope that you will continue, if you already have gotten involved, to be generous with your money and with your time. I want to challenge those of you who may be inclined to hold on to the little that you have. Be willing to let go of some of it so that Jesus can wow us with the miracle that comes through sharing. Thank you for listening to Darnell, listening to me today. These are things that we are passionate about. But I hope that you see it's not just a good idea. It's not just a societal justice program. It's not just something to deal with poverty. This is about sharing the name and the love of Jesus Christ. You can be a part of that. Father, we're thankful for the opportunity you've given us to partner with you. We know it's all about you. We know that we would have nothing if it were not given to us through your hands. So, Lord, I pray that you will help us to have open eyes to see your generosity, and that if we have not been hungry this past year, we will give you thanks for that. If we have been able to pay our bills, if we have had the resources that we have needed, clothing and shelter, that we understand it all comes from you. It has nothing to do with our success or hard work or merit. Father, I pray that we will look at our fields and the abundance of our fields, and we will gladly leave a corner so that you may take it and use it to accomplish your mission of caring for people and changing them through the power of the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. It is in that very same name we offer this prayer. Amen.
Hey, church. We're so glad you tuned in today. If you need prayer or if you have questions about what it means to follow Jesus, you can message us on Facebook or visit our contact page on our website, wacconline.org. If you're interested in joining our church family, we have the next steps available for you on our website as well. And remember, we are real people experiencing real grace. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week.